The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk, radio, and all that. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth. It's my co-host, Kara Kittrick. Kara,
hello.
Do you have any news for us this evening?
Yes, I do. So first off, the U.S. Air Force has warned any would-be Area 51 invaders that the U.S., quote, stands ready to repel any threat to the base. This after a joke event suggesting that individuals band together and storm Area 51 went viral. I don't know why I'm reporting on that, because everyone in the world knows. It's difficult to tell whether the military is actually worried that someone might show up. Maybe they just want to nip this sort of thing in the bud. Maybe the aliens are putting pressure on them to guarantee results. We don't know. A monthly meeting of the Kansas City Mutual UFO Network, or MUFON, found itself inundated with people after a number of mysterious floating orbs were spotted late last June. While Kansas City MUFON usually sees 15 or 20 people at these meetings, their meeting last Monday had nearly 150 people in attendance. DARPA stated that the floating orbs were balloons, but many MUFON members didn't believe them. I find it very odd we knew nothing about these DARPA balloons until after the fact, one said. Very suspicious. Lastly, Elon Musk would like to link brains with smartphones through his new startup Neuralink. The Neuralink devices will consist of very small chips which are placed in the patient's brain that connect to a small over-the-ear device via Bluetooth. Although, quote-unquote, telepathic brain-machine interfaces of various kinds have been tested in laboratories for more than a decade, this may be one of the first high-profile attempts to market this technology to improve daily lives. Right now, Neuralink is looking into helping people with difficulty moving or speaking, by such as stroke victims, by allowing them to control a smartphone app with the brain. But the announcement has launched speculation that it may soon become normal for healthy people to their brains with technology. Trials are expected to begin as early as next year. Back to you, Chauncey.
You know, this last one is a topic that I found to be really sort of interesting. For quite some time. I saw some joke thing where they were sort of looking back on the worst people to ever be on Shark Tank. And
oh boy, I can't wait to hear how this connects.
And it was like the very first episode or something like that, and the guy actually wanted to implant a Bluetooth device in people's heads.
Shark Week?
And Shark Tank.
Shark Tank.
I'm not sure. Did I say Shark Week?
No, I think you did say Shark Tank, but my brain heard Shark Week, and I was very confused. Is this some kind of, like, the captain from Jaws kind of situation, except he wants to become a shark-hunting cyborg to,
totally.
You know.
We're going to need a bigger cochlear implant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a minigun arm.
No, and it was just funny how creepy he was, and as I was watching it, especially when it was outdated, I was thinking to myself, okay, I understand that we're getting, you know, plastic surgery is on the rise, all this sort of stuff, people, body modifications, I mean, tattoos, I got some of those piercings, I used to have some of those, you know, there's a lot of body modification going on.
Right.
But especially watching this outdated thing where, you know, I look at my phone and my phone's outdated, I bought it 2 years ago, it's outdated. Now it's like it immediately came to my mind, do I really want to get tech put into my body that is possibly going to be outdated in 16 months? You know, it's like, how many times are they going to cut in there? And also it like recharged through a needle that went in the ear to like recharge it. Like, so that was kind of a no-go, you know, that was, that was a no. But
I mean, I think the chief thing for me is that, like, we know how freaking bones work, you know?
Yeah.
Plastic surgery of the face, of whatever. We know how that works. Anyone who tells you that we have any, like, anywhere near even 10% of an understanding of, like, how a brain works,
right,
is misinformed. Because we don't.
Well,
we don't really know what this thing does.
In the case of this guy, it was not necessarily something that works in your brain. In the case of this guy, it was you know, you would hear your phone,
right,
through the thing, you know. But outside of the realm of that, you know, what's your take on recreational body modification? You know, extreme recreational body modification. And I throw in recreational because I know there's a lot of people with medical reasons and stuff like that.
Right, but you're talking about, like, able-bodied people.
Yes, it is absolutely unnecessary to connect your cochlear implant to the internet.
Yeah, but, you know, rad.
That's how you feel. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it, too. And I would love to see other people do it, and I'm not going to.
I feel like I might if, you know... I think we're going to get there at, you know, maybe in a few decades.
Yeah, we need some sort of non-invasive surgery to do this, though. You can't cut into somebody over and over every time you get an upgrade.
Why not?
Because scars eventually break down and bad things happen. I mean,
well, that's...
have you ever known somebody who got, like, an operation like 7 times on their arm and their arm is not doing good? After the 7th operation, it may be doing, like, better in a pain, but, I mean, the movement, you know, it's a...
That's fair.
There's no going back, man.
Now, this chip is, like, ridiculously small. We're talking...
Well, what is Elon Musk thinking that this thing will do?
Well, so this is for, like, quadriplegics, stroke victims, whatever. So, like, this is definitely...
Somebody who would benefit from it.
Exactly.
Have a better quality of
life. It's like, at this point, you know, would you like to be able to speak or would you, you know, take the risks of, you know, all the surgery?
Yeah, audience, don't misunderstand. When it comes to, like, medical necessity, I'm all for this stuff.
Yeah, but I think that's where it starts. I think we get it really good working on the people who have a medical need for it. And then, you know, eventually we're doing things that are fancier.
Okay, well, we'll take a second. We have a quick call in from our buddy Carl. Carl, let's see what Carl has to say about this. Carl, you have an opinion on this?
I just want to know, Chauncey, if you were organizing a convoy to head out to Area 51.
No. No.
It would be a radio wasteland convoy to join the other 2 million people that are going to be there.
Believe me, if I could afford it, I would totally go on a journalistic level. I'm not ready to storm any gates, though, you know.
Okay, wait a minute now. We can get you a press pass.
Yeah. No,
a press pass to Area 51.
For both of you.
Yeah.
Both of you for Area 51 for the gathering of 2 million people. And I'll give you a plan. You know, I was in the military. I'll give you a plan on how to organize 2 million people into a wedge.
Oh, okay.
Can you just start off?
We'll draw straws for the point on that.
Who's going to be number one there? That's right. You can name him Leonidas.
Yeah.
And it's the size of the state of Connecticut, but that's okay. So I'm thinking is that we could probably take, what, 30, 40, you know, band loads in our Volkswagen vans and head there. It's going to be better than Burning Man.
I agree. And given the option, you know, I would totally do that. We're coming up on commercial here, Carl. Carl,
okay.
Thank you for calling in. Totally funny, and we're going to have to discuss this off, you know, discuss our plans here, because I don't want to mess around. You know, if you're proposing this press pass and this is happening.
This is happening. Okay.
But you're going too, and so's Linda.
Well, you know, we just might. We'll have to borrow her brother's Volkswagen van that's, you know, like 40 years old.
Sounds good.
But we'll
to me.
Go. Okay. Anyway, great show as usual. We'll talk to you later.
All right. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we have our guest, Rob Shelsky, and we're going to be talking about the dangerous side of the UFO.
Oh, yeah.
The Cascade Theater presents four free films and a whole lot of fun this July with the Kids Summer Movie Club. Every Sunday afternoon in July, the theater opens the door at 2 with completely free admission for everybody. Turtle Bay will be there to show off some animals and hand out prizes. There's activities and then the film at 3, featuring Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Cars, and Brave. Four films, four Sundays in July. Sponsored by JPR, KIXE, First 5 Shasta, and Turtle Bay. See you there.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Come see Little Women at Riverfront Playhouse. A timeless tale that has delighted audiences for generations is being performed on the Reading stage. Follow Meg, Joe, Amy, and Beth through the ups and downs of growing up. Watch as they laugh, cry, live, and love all through the strength of sisterhood and the power of family. Written by Louisa May Alcott, adapted by John Rabold, directed by Annie Bakalenikoff. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, running July 20th through August 17th.
Dude, look what just popped up on my timeline.
Dude, I was just thinking about the Charbroiled Double Deals from Carl's Jr. California Classic Double Cheeseburger, Jalapeno Double Cheeseburger, and the Double Cheeseburger.
Three mouthwatering burgers for only $2.99 each.
How did they know we were starving?
How did they know I only have about $2.99 in my wallet?
It's the algorithm, man. He knows everything.
Whoa, wait. Who's the algorithm?
Charbroiled Double Deals, only at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time. Price and participation may vary. Price higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Tax not included.
Life is about what you put into it. It's also about what you leave out. That's why we serve ham with no antibiotics, ever. Wholesome by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Go big or go home. What kind of choice is that? Go big and stay home with Jersey Mike's, delivered by Uber Eats. Having it all by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Kara, I'm curious, how many people, now, I know that we keep reiterating that this raid on Area 51 is a joke, and it was, you know, based off of the joke, how many people do you think are really going to show up to this thing? Do you think any?
I think any. I'm guessing a few thousand, but they won't be there to storm the place. They'll be there to take selfies.
They're going
to
be freak watchers. They're going to be there to watch the other freaks and then realize that they're
right.
The freaks.
No one is going to actually, like, do anything illegal, I'm pretty sure. Like, at the very most, 1 to 10 people will do something stupid and get arrested.
Yeah, it might be, you know, it needs to be like that old Western movie with Glenn Ford, Cimarron, with the land grab where they basically line up everybody in their wagons and horses. And then basically they fire off the gun and everybody has to ride out there and try to get the piece of land that they want. I want to be up on the hill. when it's done.
We're divvying up Area 51 right now.
Right.
So,
and it's going to be
whoever
like,
gets the anti-gravity matrix gets the anti-gravity matrix.
Right, yeah, totally.
Whoever gets the Stargate, you know, they've got the Stargate now, and they're going to be our emissary to the other dimensions.
Right. It's
going to
be like six Winnebagos, all of which oddly driven by people who look like Hunter S. Thompson at different points in his life, with antennas made out of, you know, made out of like tinfoil, you know, triangular tinfoil antennas, you know, riding. Can't you just see that in the distance? You're on the hill, you're looking over, there's clouds of smoke coming up behind the Winnebagos. There's cigarettes extended upon cigarette holders out windows.
Right. You're on
it's
like
the land grab.
You're like on the wall of Area 51. You've got your binoculars, you're looking out, something's coming over the horizon. It's Winnebagos. Yeah, I can see that. That's not what's going to happen, though.
I don't know. What do you think is going to happen?
I think very little is going to happen.
Do you think it's going to be more like the party with Annette Bening from Mars Attacks? I'm referencing a bunch of movies that I'm sure you... Have you seen Cimarron? You know, like 1956 with Glenn Ford?
Of course. I'm all about, you know, the movies from the 1950s.
All right. Did you see Mars Attacks?
No.
Okay.
I don't know anything.
I don't even know how to communicate with you, you know?
This is intergenerational divide, the show. I was about to say interdimensional, which also accurate,
might
but,
as well.
You know, not what's at issue here.
Right. All right, so we're here with our guest, Rob Shelsky. Rob, you here with us?
I sure am, despite a really bad thunderstorm we just had.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, is all good there where you are?
Yeah.
It is now, but it was a particularly violent one. Branches, large branches falling down, all sorts of debris everywhere.
Where are you?
I'm in near Greensboro, North Carolina.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know, out here, we're worried about
that. Makes sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, watching the news and watching the weather that goes on the news, that makes sense.
Yeah, we had several power blinks, so I was a little bit late calling in. I had to reset a few things before I could make the call.
Oh, that is totally fine. You know, we're
Will
really
you forgive
happy.
You?
Yeah, you're forgiven. We're really happy to have you on because every time we talk to you, it's always a really interesting deep dive into a topic that I find to be really interesting that I feel like not enough people are hitting. You know, as a outside looker of the UFO phenomenon and aliens and extraterrestrials, you know, well, I've said this before. A lot of people have gotten into this sort of thing because they had experiences and stuff like that. Personally, I got into it because I like movies. And, you know, normally in the movies, they're trying to kill us. You know, so,
yeah.
That's like
starting in the 1950s and going on from there. Yes,
yeah,
they do.
You know.
And I think the movies may have been closer to the mark than we realize.
So, you know, what... You know, with so many people going in the other direction, they're here to help, they're spiritual. You know, we have this big divide in the UFO community where a lot of people have really brought major spirituality into it and stuff like that. You know, what made you decide to go in this direction?
Well, it wasn't that I decided to go in that direction. I just started investigating UFOs. Again, I was a MUFON field investigator and worked on that. Before that, I was a private investigator, which I am again. I go to sites, I research them, the whole bit. And it wasn't like I wanted it to turn out this way. It's just that all the evidence seems to point to the fact that UFOs are not friendly. At least the vast majority do not seem to be. They cause damage to property over and over. They cause injuries over and over. They cause civilian deaths, many of them. They cause military deaths, many of them. And we're talking over decades here. So I'm gaining a preponderance of evidence that there's a lot of negative impact from UFO sightings being anywhere near them in a lot of cases. And I haven't seen anything on the other side of the fence that says there are space brothers, as one woman yelled at me at a presentation I gave in Baltimore not long ago.
That's
you
a
know,
little sexist,
and I
but
said,
all right.
Well, show me something good that they've done. Show me where they beamed someone out of a burning building just in time, or they shone a light into the woods and led Hansel and Gretel out of the woods. You know, anything good. And the most we can come up with is a couple people that were abducted who say after the fact that they, one I think believe said they had cancer and the cancer was cured. Now, we have no empirical data that the aliens cured it, but I also think that if they were abducting people, they repeat the abductions quite often, and they are supposedly tracking these people. They find bits of things in the people's body, like some kind of insert, and we don't know what they are, but they theorize it's tracking devices. Well, if you're tracking an experimental creature, like a guinea pig, for instance, you might not want it to die. So if you have the power to cure the problem so you could go on tracking what this creature is doing, you probably would. In any case, there's only like on one hand those sort of types of things. I believe Travis Walton, long after he was abducted, long after he gave his initial story where it was quite traumatic, has since become spiritual about it and thinks maybe they helped him because when he went to look, they're taking off or trying to apparently hurt him, so they beamed him on board to save him. Well, again, that's a change in the story long after the fact. And a lot of people do this, and it's, you know, similar to the Stockholm Syndrome, where if you're abducted by someone and kept with them long enough, you begin to sympathize with them, as with the case of Patty Hearst back in the, I guess it was the 70s or early 80s, where she was abducted and became one with her captors after a while. But even if you allow those as to be good ones, you're only talking 3 or 4 cases versus thousands of cases of property damage, injuries, and deaths.
Well, we only got about 3 minutes up until we hit this commercial break. But so before we get to some of the good, scary stuff, you know, why do you think with so few of these, why do you think so many people are going in this sort of spiritual, they're here to help, they're here to save us? Is it just a hope?
Oh, well, we go through phases. I mean, in the 50s, every alien was a horrible monster with tentacles. And then came the 60s, and it began to transition. 70s and 80s came along, and all of a sudden the aliens were kind. We had Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where they were nice, sweet, little short people. We had E.T., lovable little creature. And all of a sudden the aliens were our friends. It was almost as if someone was gearing us up for first contact. And then all of a sudden they changed their mind. And then all of a sudden it started getting very, very dark again in the movies. And the public does this and follows this, and it's waves. I mean, Native American Indians in the 50s, when I was a kid, we played cowboys and Indians. No one wanted to be an Indian. They were bad. And then later on, Indians, or Native Americans, as we now call them, have suddenly come into a good light, and which is great. But my point is the public shifts from one viewpoint to another. Now we're getting very metaphysical about the extraterrestrials, but I don't see the evidence that there are space brothers. I just can't find it.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Well, I always kind of blamed it on mental illness. I don't understand the spiritual aspect. But to be honest, I don't really understand a lot of spiritual aspects of my day-to-day life, much less, you know, my relationship with my space brothers. So I'm just not a very spiritual guy, you know. I'm a little more nuts and bolts.
Well, I think people want to always think the best, and they want to hope for the best, and they don't want to fear. And so it's understandable that they would hope that this would be the case, that a more advanced race would be kinder to us, more compassionate, more gentle. But when you're abducting people against their will and tormenting them against their will, I don't see those as being nice things to do to human beings.
Yeah, I agree. I feel bad for owning a dog. So, I mean, I
exactly,
totally agree with
exactly.
You.
Exactly. Yeah. And then I had one lady say to me, or woman, and at the same thing, that, well, they're so far advanced beyond us, maybe they see us as ants. I said, you know, we're pretty far advanced beyond ants, and I don't think we treat them as badly as extraterrestrials are treating us. And if they're so advanced, doesn't that include a higher moral standard, a higher ethical standard? Because we're developing it as we advance. Why wouldn't the ETs do it too?
Well, you're totally right. We're coming up on break here, but let me throw out that in the world's food crisis, we are thinking about eating insects in order to get the protein that we need. So our relationship with ants might change very drastically in the near future.
As the ETs might with us. Who knows? Maybe we're edible.
All right. You're listening to Rob Shelsky here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back. Don't miss out.
title sponsor for North 8 Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships with its clients.
Rick Hill and Rory Greek, financial advisors of Morgan Stanley's Reading office, know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everyone has different goals, from planning for retirement to saving for a child's education.
Rick and Rory, with the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can create personal investment strategies to help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. So call Rick or Rory at 223-4200. That's 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. SIPC.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring, we've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
Hello, Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning.
Please proceed. Thank you.
Jack, well, yes, sir. Here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning Service, we carry a complete line of Energy Star high-efficiency heating and cooling systems.
Don't make a bit of sense to me.
Well, sir, we're always here to help you at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. I don't know why you're so grouchy.
I'm not feeling grouchy.
And here at Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, we can install a new Energy Star high-efficiency system with our expert technicians. Now, what do you think of that?
You want answers? You can't handle the truth.
The truth is, quality service is just a phone call away with Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. Call 221-2642 in Reading or 378-2642 in Anderson and Cottonwood.
Everybody calls us.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Rob Shelsky. We're talking about the dangerous and the potentially nefarious side of UFOs. This world has seemed to be so wrapped up for about a decade now in, visitations and that it's beautiful. But, Rob, let's get some examples of really why we might think that they're up to no good. Are there any sighting examples? Everybody likes to to site sightings or site experiences, and they're always vague and misunderstood. You know, are there any that basically are not vague and misunderstood? They're pretty obviously not very nice.
Oh, yes, there's quite a few. I mean, and it dates way back. It dates way back as far as, for instance, a military flight over the Great Lakes, and two pilots were aboard, Lieutenant Felix Munkla, Second Lieutenant Robert Wilson. That was in 1953. There was a UFO spotted over the Great Lakes. They flew to intercept it. And now the military doesn't scramble jets to intercept things unless they think there's a valid reason to do so. They said they sighted the object. They were closing with it. They were watching this on radar the whole time. The objects appeared to merge. This is a matter of fact, a matter of historical record. The object seemed to merge, and then there was only the one object, the original UFO object, and it took off north across the Canadian border. And of the plane, nothing was ever seen again, or of the two men. They finally had a memorial long after they died and did a plaque for them, but the men are gone. They just never had a chance. They never came back. No pieces of wreckage of the plane were ever found. No bodies were found. To this day, nobody knows what the heck happened to them. There are other cases of the same sort of thing in the military. The Soviets had the same problem. They had skin divers or military divers in Lake Baikal in the Soviet Union at the time. They went down into the water. They went to a great depth. They saw some people or things in silvery suits with helmets, but they said they didn't look at all like the proper diving gear for such a depth. And so they decided to chase them. Then one of the divers decided to try to net one of them. And this was catastrophic because some force or some pressure from below, so far deep they don't know what it was, forced the four divers to the surface. Well, when you come up to the surface that quickly, that instantly, it causes the bends, which is nitrogen bubbles forming in the bloodstream of the body. And this can cause severe pain, permanent injuries, and death. Well, to treat it, they want to put them in a hyperbaric pressure chamber. Unfortunately, the one they had only fit two men. They tried to shove all four men in there. Three of them ended up dead. One of them ended up permanently handicapped. This goes on and on and on, this sort of thing. That's the military. In the private world, the same thing is going on. A young man in Australia, Valentich, was flying. He reported to the control tower that he saw strange lights. He had a running conversation with him. You can get the transcript yourselves. They're online. And he said they were getting closer, and there was a strange noise, and it went dead, and he was never seen again. Neither was his plane, no wreckage, no nothing. Same thing as with the event that happened in 1953 with Lieutenant Munkla and Wilson. And it goes on with civilians as well. You have the Dyatlov Pass incident where all those skiers ended up dead. It's pretty famous. And under the strangest circumstances, an orange orbs were seen in the same region just a couple nights before. It was in a region that was historically considered dangerous for some reason. Even the name of the mountain they were going to, it was either the mountain or the pass at the time. It was called Don't Go There in the local tribal tongue. So they were just skiing across country. They were college students, and they ended up dead under horrible, horrible circumstances. And people say, well, maybe these were just accidental. Well, there's just too darn many of them to be accidental. And on top of that, we have the deaths of people who are trying to investigate this. We have swarms of deaths of researchers, journalists, scientists, microbiologists, astronomers. And, again, they seem to come in swarms. And it's what's causing their deaths, we're not sure. I would suspect some government agency or some deep government type of thing might be involved in that one. But in 1987 alone, we had a really big spate of deaths of researchers. It was phenomenal how many were killed. And under the strangest circumstances, supposedly committing suicide, one killed in his own garage by his own car, another one tying a rope around himself into a tree and getting his car and driving off and doing it this way. And all these people, the families say there was no reason why they would have committed suicide. A couple were writing books. They were known to be writing books at the time, including a famous author, Philip K. Dick. He died supposedly of a stroke, but his manuscript disappeared. And his manuscript was about ETs, UFOs. His own personal contacts with them, supposedly, gone. This just, again, goes on and on and on. And then we have the the disappearances. I'm not talking about abductees, and there's supposed to be over a million of those alone. I'm talking about people who have permanently disappeared forever in the tens of thousands every year. In the United States alone, for instance, you can have on average about 800,000 to a million people who vanish each year. Now, once you deduct all the normal reasons for disappearances, kidnappings, murder, people running away from home, one parent abducting the child of the other parent, all that sort of thing, people wanting to start over with a new life and a new identity, once you get rid of all that, you're still left with about 7 to 5% or 5 to 7% that simply can't be accounted for and who are permanently gone. This means a number approximately around 50,000 people in the United States alone every single year vanishing from the face of the earth. Australia has the same problem. Alaska has the problem. From 1988, for the next 7 years, over 60,700 people were reported missing in Alaska. So huge is that number that now they're referring to it as the Alaska Triangle. So we are having abductions. We are having deaths, horrible deaths of military people. We are having horrible deaths of civilians. We are having people disappear in the tens of thousands. We are having entire villages disappear. And this isn't just recent. It's basically throughout history. We have animal mutilations in the hundreds and thousands, depending on what country you're in. We have crop circles. Now, of course, a lot of those can be hoaxes and are. But there are so many of them, and some are so complex, no one knows how they could possibly be done. And on top of that, some of these crop circles date back to the 1600s, long before anyone was hoaxing them. Again, how do we account for all of this? And why is there so much death and destruction and injuries and disappearances? What's happening to all these people who are disappearing? That's the big question.
So do you think, well, we got about 3 minutes up until the commercial break. Do you think that this is why the government doesn't take it seriously? I mean, obviously, not to come down on UFO researchers, but I mean, if UFO researchers are figuring this stuff out with half the information, surely the government is onto it on some level as well, I would think. Or are they just taking
it? Well, I think they are, and I think they have been for a long time. There's several possible reasons. One is perhaps the government knows all about this and can't do a thing about it, is powerless. So rather than have the population panic and saying, oh, yes, thousands of you people are being stolen every year and there's nothing we can do about it, and you're not being returned like the abductees are, although that counts too, and there's nothing we can do about it, people would quickly lose faith in their government as being any source of protection. And once you lose faith in the government, those governments tend to collapse. Another theory is they might be in collusion with it, getting some technology in return for allowing the aliens to do this to us. There's several possibilities, none of them good.
Right. Right. Huh. Crazy. You know, this is really crazy, and this is kind of what I always thought. You know, every time people brought up abductions, yet are also talking about how, as you said, there are space brothers. You know, it was difficult to rectify those two situations, you know.
I'd love to think that there are friends,
and maybe there is a race out there that is our friends. But from the evidence I've gathered, it just doesn't look that way. I wish it did, but it just doesn't.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrifying to think. So in about a minute, you know, what do you make of the government releasing these videos?
I find it a little frightening. I find it a little frightening that the government has decided to release this information. It looks to me like they're getting us ready for something. And because the information they're releasing is not of a positive nature, it's not of the space brother nature, I find that the evidence or whatever it is that they might eventually divulge might not be good news.
All right. Well, absolutely terrifying. Thank you for sharing that terrifying information. All right. We're coming up on break here. You're listening to Rob Schelsky. We're talking about the terrifying aspect of UFOs and abductions. So stick around and come on back.
Thank you.
sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
All are welcome to the 16th annual backpack giveaway at the Reading Aquatic Center on Saturday, August 10th at 6 p.m. If buying another year's worth of school supplies is a financial strain for your family, join us at this free community event. Registration opens Monday, July 15th and runs until we're full. Call 262-6800 to register your child to receive a free backpack of supplies for K through 12th grade and join us for food, prizes, live music, and swimming. This event is sponsored by Bethel Church, and we want all children in Shasta County to have a great start this fall.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier before I was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Rob Shelsky. We're talking about the scary side of UFO abductions. You know, are they really here to get us, or UFO visitation in general, you know, sightings and all that? You know, in your research, so a lot of people like to cite that they're here to help us. And they're here to watch over us because of passes over military bases and nuclear silos and stuff like that. First of all, is there any truth to what they're saying there? And then secondly, what's your take on that?
Yes, they have been often cited around military bases in the past and even more recently. But again, the news isn't good. In one case, they went near a military base. They were sighted. And the base experienced blackouts. Their missile silos started counting down. as if they were about to launch, going into the launch sequence, nuclear missiles.
That's terrible.
So I wouldn't call that a friendly gesture.
Yeah.
There's another case where one was over a military base, and there was a launch of a rocket, and this UFO was seen, and it looks, if you look at the video, as if a beam is shooting out from it, and the rocket exploded. Again, this doesn't look good to me. I just don't find that that is a positive. I mean, if they're trying to stop a nuclear war, why would you put missiles into a launch sequence, overriding all the safeguards and protocols that the base had for those things? It should have been impossible, but it happened. And, excuse me, this seems to happen a lot. So I don't think there's so much safeguarding as they are observing, watching, and on occasion interfering. Now, some could argue that maybe they were just demonstrating their power and what they could do. Well, if you want to demonstrate your power to me, shut me down. Don't make my missiles launch against my will. That would demonstrate to me that you have more power than I do if you can stop something that's trying to launch, and which they also did too. But even so, around these military bases, including in Brazil, again, this dates way back, they buzzed military bases. People had radiation burns, sunburns they called it. It was radiation burns. They did it in Ohio. They've done it in Indiana. They've done it in New Mexico. Whatever these things are, and I do think they exist, and so do lots of other people, including a field marshal in England, several scientists here in this country, and including Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, among others. So I think these things exist. I think they're real. I think they're here. And I think they're dangerous.
So
otherwise, why are they swarming all over our planet in our oceans and lakes? But they seem to be either avoiding us, or when they interact with us, things seem to go badly. It's almost as if they don't care, as if they're amoral or immoral. They just don't seem to care what happens to the people that happen to be nearby. Now, they got to know we're here. If you have that kind of advanced technology, we certainly can scan and tell when people are around. Why aren't they taking some kind of precautions? They don't seem to be. They buzz commercial airliners. They buzz military jets. It just goes on and on and on. And I can't find anywhere near the positive evidence for their behavior patterns to counteract all this negative. Now, some people argue there's good aliens and there's bad aliens, and the good ones have a non-interference pact where they don't want to interfere in our developing culture, just like the Prime Directive in Star Trek. You don't want to mess up a culture's development. But if all these other ones are damaging us, killing us, abducting us, and they're just standing by and doing nothing, what good are they?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
How can you call them good if they don't interfere, if they don't act like the Good Samaritan and say, hey, knock that off, stop doing that to these people? But they don't seem to be. So if there are good ones, how good are they?
Well, earlier you made the point that a field marshal agreed, and it prompted a question. So when you're researching this stuff, you know, we got a lot of people who believe they're here to help and so on and so forth. When it comes to ex-government and ex-military people who believe that these things are out there, are they consistently on the side of, like, we need to watch out?
Well, sometimes they're more neutral than that. In the case of the Air Chief Marshal, Lord Dowding, he said, of course, the flying saucers are real and they are interplanetary. The cumulative evidence for the existence of UFOs is quite overwhelming, and I accept the fact of their existence. So that's fairly neutral. We don't know. He doesn't state that there are negative consequences from it. And, of course, you only get that negative consequence thing when you start having a lot of encounters and you build up the evidence for it. Again, I wish I could find more positive evidence. I'd like to think someone out there is on our side. I really would like to do that. But right now, all I can tell people is if you see a UFO and you can safely video it or photograph it, do so. But if it looks like it's interested in you and coming towards you, run like hell.
Right. Be as not interesting as you can be. You know? No reason to track me. I'm not interesting, you know?
Yeah. Right. I'm just going to go hide in this hole on the culvert on the side of the road or whatever.
Right.
But I mean, because the evidence seems to be overwhelmingly that it's not a good thing to have a contact. At the very least, it seems like people get burned because the ship flies near them. At the worst, they get abducted and they get treated savagely. Oh, yeah, they're made to forget, so that makes it okay. No, it doesn't. Just because you're kidnapped and then someone uses psychoactive drugs on you to make you forget and blank out your memory doesn't mean that the crimes weren't committed to you.
Right.
The permanently disappeared.
It's like intergalactic groupies.
Where are they going? What are they doing with these people?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That is true. You know, I always hear people justify it like, oh, they know better and so on and so forth. But that is absolutely terrifying. It is. Yeah. You know, even Stephen Hawking in the end said something to the effect of maybe we shouldn't advertise where we're at.
Right. He thinks it's crazy to have beaming messages out into the universe because you don't know what you might attract. You know, the human population is pretty law-abiding, generally speaking. They think that about 5% of us are really criminal-minded. Well, what if the same is true of intelligent races in the galaxy or the universe?
Yeah.
You could have that 5% number at the billions. And they may have nothing kind to do. And also, historically speaking, we have ample evidence that any time an advanced culture interferes with a lesser advanced culture, it's the lesser advanced culture that gets destroyed or heavily damaged. Time and time again in our own history, we've seen this repeated. What makes us think that it stops at our atmosphere, that it doesn't continue on into space?
Right. I agree. We can only make assumptions about life based off the life we know, and that's what we know. All right. Well, we're here. We're here at the end of the show. Rob, I really appreciate you coming on. I know you got a busy schedule, you know. You are just blowing up. You're all over the place when we look, man. So I really appreciate you making time for us, you know.
Well, thank you very much, and I enjoy being on your show. And you ask good questions. I like it when people ask to-the-point questions.
Oh, good. Good. Well, before we let you go, why don't you tell our audience where they can find out more about your new book and where they can find out more about you?
Well, they can find out everything about me at robshelsky.blogspot.com, or they can just go to – the easiest way is go to Amazon and just type in my last name, and all my books come up, and all the new ones as well. Or they can always just do a Google search on me, and plenty of stuff comes up that way. That's probably the best.
All right, Rob. Thank you very much for being on the show. Always great to have you. And I love the topics you bring. They're always what I want. We had you up before for time travel and Invader Moon and now freaky UFOs. I love it. I love it. And can't wait to have you on again.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
All right. You've been listening to Rob Shelsky here on Radio Wasteland.
Climbing up on The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.